And now on the Parazone, we present Got Ghosts? Bizarre, but true tales of the Ghostbuster gals. And we have on the line the Ghostbuster gals from the Pacific Northwest, Laura Mystica and Ronnie Renee Foster. How are both of you doing?
Doing great.
Fabulous.
How are you?
Laura Lee, I know you just got back from Los Angeles.
And
I guess you didn't go anywhere, huh?
I did. At least my physical body didn't.
Folks, Ghost Gals is not only the name of a book, which I mentioned at the top of the show, but also I think you guys are doing a television project. Isn't that right?
Maybe. Certainly hope so.
So you're going to have a TV show pretty soon.
It's a TV show. We're talking to the executives at the cable networks. They're examining it right now. And so we're in the wait and see process. But our producer from Toasted Chick seems to think that it might really go. So we're excited. And it might be called something like 911 Ghost Rescue. Because even though we're Ghostbusters, really what we do is rescue trapped souls.
Now right here where we have the show on this page on our website, we also have a teaser, a video of the Ghost Gals TV show. It's available as a WMV and as a QuickTime video, so everybody can look at it. And I urge them to do it. If nothing else, just to see what the Ghost Gals actually look like. Now, I understand you have a longer version. Yeah, you're not really a pilot, but I guess you have a 90-second version as well as you're peddling your wares to the TV people. All the executives out there in TV land are all bidding for it.
Yes, that's the short 50-second version. The longer teaser is about 90 seconds, and it's really exciting. It's scary. It's actually scary. And so we like that part. Because that's what the executives want, even though Laura Lee and I aren't scared about doing our job, but they seem to want a little bit of fear in there. So the producers did a fabulous job throwing this together. It took 7 hours of film to get to this 90 seconds.
Where did you two ladies film this? Washington State, I guess. But I read somewhere where you expect to do the pilot in New Orleans.
Yes, and maybe New Orleans.
Yeah,
we kind of
two places.
yeah, we're laughing. That's an inside joke, but the show premise is that we will go around the country helping people that are in need of our services, people that are being harassed and harangued and sickened by ghosts that are stuck in their house. So.
Well, and the house that it shows on the long teaser is really kind of a sad story. I mean, these ghosts are just ruining this guy's life. He cannot sleep at night. He lost his job because he would be awake all night and then couldn't go to work. And it's just really sad. And I know that he's not an isolated case. There are so many people who have situations like this, and it totally alters and ruins their life. And so we're have a lot of compassion for that, and compassion for the living and the dead. And so that's why we.
So I take it there's all types of ghosts, and not all of them are threatening.
Oh, there's lots of types of ghosts. How many types of people are there? Well, there's that many types of ghosts. There's some ghosts that are, you know, fairly benign, and they just maybe turn a light off here and there to help you out. And then there's some that are really mean and aggressive and hostile and enjoy harassing the living. It's kind of a hobby, like they enjoyed harassing people when they were alive. You don't change personalities when you die. And if you're nice when you're alive, you're nice when you're dead. And if you're mean when you're alive, you're mean when you're dead.
Gee. If you're rotten here on Earth while you're alive, that means you'll be rotten when you're dead? Gee, that's kind of sad. No hope.
Boy, it is too bad.
It is, and some of those, the mean ghosts literally feed on the fear what gives them the power. So maybe this might be a good time, Jerry, to explain what we believe is a ghost. What, you know, because people do have definitely lots of different perceptions of it. And so in our understanding, we are not just human beings, but we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And inside each and every one of us resides a soul or a spirit. And so when the physical body fades away and dies, so to speak, the spirit can do one of two things. It can either go through the tunnel and go to the light to go home, which is what the majority of spirits do, or if that soul dies in such a heavy, deep, lower vibration, such as resentment, fear, shock, anger, guilt, hatred, confusion, any of those lower vibrations, what happens is it'll pop out of the physical body and it doesn't see the light. It's in such a low vibration, it absolutely does not see the light, and then it becomes stuck or earthbound. And so there's lots of other ways, you know, that people become ghosts. What are some of the other ways, Laura Lee?
Well, one of the things that is almost guaranteed to become a ghost are suicides. Not every suicide, but most people who commit suicide because they were in such a desperate state when they died, they don't see the light, they don't see the tunnel. And a lot of ghosts that are out there are there because they put themselves there.
Absolutely. And then if they're, you know, when they were alive, if they had an excessive attachment to people or things, or they hold on so tight, and sometimes their loved ones that are left behind hold on so tight to them that they can't escape and go through that tunnel.
Wow, obsessive personality behavior even in death. They just don't let go, huh? Now, are you saying they're a good ghost?
We love that question, Jerry, because there is no such thing as a good ghost.
There can be nice ghosts and happy ghosts, but there's no good ghost, because every ghost is trapped, and it's not where it needs to be, and it's draining the electromagnetic fields where it resides. And if that's in your house, it's draining your fields. It can make you tired, fatigue. It can make you on edge. It can do all sorts of things to the people and the electronics in a house. And so they really need to go away. Even though I know some people, I had a client whose ghost dusted for them. And they didn't want us taking their ghost away because it would dust.
But it's still not a good ghost because
it needs to go away.
It needs to go home.
Well, I have to ask, do you two think that the ghosts are glad to see you when you show up? Sounds like you think they just might be happy to see you.
That's a great question, too, because sometimes they're really glad because finally somebody can help them.
Or see them. Some of them are shocked that we can see them.
So both of you can see these ghosts.
We see them not with our physical third-dimensional eyes, but we see them with our spiritual eyes.
It's kind of an intuitive thing that you see it inside your head, for me anyway. I can, like, get a... And mostly, I'm more of a intuitive. I can feel them. I can hear them. I can hear what they say. It's just different for each situation. Some are more prominent than others. Sometimes we can get a full profile of how they looked, what they were wearing. Sometimes it's not quite as prominent. It's more of a, I don't know, and it's all internal for me. Isn't it that way for you, Ronnie?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm an intuitive also, and an empathic intuitive, so I feel things more than I see things with my eyes, like a true psychic.
Now, Laura Lee said that she can hear them sometimes, too. Ronnie, can you hear these ghosts?
No, most of the time, like Laura Lee's saying, We hear them with our spiritual ears, but there have been times where I have physically heard them with my ears, as in one case when we were ghost-busting the Amargosa Hotel and Opera House up in the high desert of California and Nevada on the border. It's kind of like the Hotel California.
It mm-hmm. looked like it. It's really scary, an interesting place.
Very, very scary, scary
Where
place.
Where exactly in Nevada is this place?
It's not too far from Pahrump, Nevada.
Okay.
We were up in Pahrump doing a TV show called Out There, and they asked us if we wanted to see this really haunted hotel, and we went, okay.
I used to live in Nevada. I broadcast for years from Las Vegas, and I know about Pahrump.
Okay. Probably would be
familiar with Pahrump.
Familiar with Pahrump.
So we went there, and as we were walking around in the back of the hotel section, it's all rubble, and it's an old place, and they hadn't fixed this area up, but I walked into this room, and I literally heard a ghost scream in my ear. Get out!
She does a good job there.
She does a really good job.
You know, it's because I can remember it to this day. That's how powerful an experience that was. And there was one other person with us that heard it. And she looked at me, and she said, you know, he's not real happy. I went, uh-uh. He's not real happy at all, and he wants us out of there. She said, I know. And, of course, we stayed and laughed.
And didn't get out.
Didn't care. No, because, you know, we're not afraid of no ghosts. We're just not. So,
can a ghost hurt you?
Only if you let it.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's like with Kathy when the ghost pushed her down the hall and she got a carpet burn on her knees. And that was right not too long before we came to help the ghost at the Amargosa. And she just got mad at him and she said, don't you ever do that again. And was, no, it's just almost, it's out in the middle of nowhere
mm-hmm.
in the desert. It's at this crossroads, and there's nothing around. It's just this hotel, an opera house in the middle of nowhere. Well, we got rid of some of them. I mean, it was like a haunted city. And
now, I have a question. Do these ghosts actually see each other? I mean, you know, I hear stories about a house full of ghosts. They all know each other or around?
Some of them did. There was, when we did the ghost busting, the first thing that we had to do is quarantine this ornery old ghost, because he was, he had kept the other ones literally imprisoned there, and he wasn't going to let them go, so we had to do something to him. So I quarantined him in a cryogenetics egg. The listeners can see.
Look at our book.
Yeah, it's in the book. And he started screaming and howling and pounding on the shell of the egg, and I just anesthetized him and said, night, night, you're going to bed. And then we smelled this horrible, awful stench like rotten egg gas. And everybody smelled it. We're going, oh, ooh, what's that smelly thing? And it was him. And after he was asleep and anesthetized, the smell went away, and then we were free to open up the portal and let the other, help the other ghosts through.
So sometimes ghosts can see each other and interreact with each other, and sometimes there can be two ghosts in the same room, and they are in a different dimension, and they don't see each other or know each other's there at all.
Well, you mentioned the book, so I think we better tell the audience how they can get that book.
Our book's called Got Ghosts, The Bizarre But True Tales of the Ghostbuster Gal. It's very easy to find it. We have it on our website, which is gotghosts2.com. Barnes & Noble, a lot of the big bookstores are carrying it now.
And you can get it on Amazon.
Amazon, yep. Amazon can get it. And on our website, you know, we have a couple different websites that it can be gotten on. It's a fabulous book, and not because, you know, we wrote it, but...
Well, that too.
But it has so much information to help people understand really what ghosts are, to help take the fear away from having a ghost, take the fear away from dying. Because, you know, if you have a ghost, then you know that dying is not the end of it. The spirit lives on, and that's the key thing that I know I like to accentuate when I'm talking to people. So we talk also about not just our stories, but we give a practical guide on how to ghost bust yourself, step-by-step instructions that people can use. If they're being plagued and harassed by a plethora of ghosts, they can use these step-by-step instructions just like we use, and it can help them get rid of their own ghosts. So it's a great book. Oh, and you know what the best thing is, Jerry? It's been endorsed by three of the top people in those fields, you know, in the country. James von Prague, I'm sure many of the people have heard James von Prague. He's done the Ghost Whisperer TV show. He also has a New York Times best-selling book called Talking to Heaven, and his latest is Ghosts Among Us. He loved our book and has done a glowing endorsement. And, of course, Daniel Brinkley, who happens to be a friend of mine. Daniel Brinkley wrote Saved by the Light, and now his newest one, Secrets of the Light. He has developed Compassion in Action. The Twilight Brigade does hospice work, and I'm a hospice volunteer through his organization. And we actually ghost-busted his 200-year-old home in South Carolina. So it made a believer out of him.
And he had a dog that we ghost-busted.
Yeah,
so I think it's important for people to know that, yes, animal spirits get stuck, too.
Really?
Absolutely. And I got to hear Buddy myself, because I was visiting Daniel and his wife, Catherine, at that home. And I was sitting talking to Daniel 1 o'clock in the morning, and I hear the nails of a dog's feet, you know, going up and down in the hallway. Because he had a wood floor. And I said, oh, Daniel, I didn't know you had a dog. And he goes, I don't. I went, give me a break, I just heard that dog. No, he said, that's Buddy. He's been dead a long time ago. And I said, no way. I jumped up and I looked down the hall, and sure enough, there's no dog. So it's one of those phenomenons that, you know, actually physically heard that ghost dog walking around. And we sent Buddy to the light. You know, we don't use the same portal that we use for humans. We use a rainbow bridge portal for the animals, and we help them cross over too.
How long have you two been a team? I mean, how long have you been, how long have you known each other?
Almost 10 years now.
Ronnie, I've known Laura Lee for a long time.
Have you?
And now you get to meet Ronnie.
Yeah.
The partner.
The partner.
Yeah, Laura Lee and I kind of shared a home together. And we lived together for a while and developed this business. And really, I thought she was just joking when she said, hey, we should go into business together doing this. And no, she wasn't joking.
And you laughed, and you thought it was funny, and I was dead serious.
She was. And so, you know, I thought, okay, so I wrote a little ghost busting ad, and we put it in the paper, and we didn't get anybody that needed help with ghost busting, but we got the TV news, local TV news, and a local reporter that wanted to do a story on us, and that's how it all started. So,
and that was like 8 years ago, 8.5, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to the ghosts themselves. Some of them are irritable and unhappy because of where they are,
mm-hmm,
and their circumstances.
Yeah.
And are there such things as ghost happy? I mean, you know, happy ghosts? I mean, for instance, I was just thinking, if you're a comedian and you die, do you still sit around and tell jokes to the dead?
If he doesn't see the portal home. Because he dies in such a very low vibration, yes, then he would retain that sense of humor. And again, as Laura Lee said in the beginning, each ghost, when they pass, they keep the same basic personality that they have. And what we want to help people understand too is that if they do have a big, mean, nasty ghost that likes to be a tyrant or threaten, they feed off the fear. They literally try to make you afraid. They'll throw things around and rattle things and get your adrenaline pumping, and then they just, they have a feast. It's like,
well, it makes them feel powerful. A lot of these ghosts were into real power trips when they were alive, and so if they can make somebody tower down and run out of the room, and, you know, they think that's just great. It puts them on a real power trip and feeds their ego. And we just don't give them that kind of satisfaction, do we, Ronnie?
No, we're not afraid. And you know, for me, I use the power of love, because to me, love is the strongest power in the universe. And I work with the angelic realm, and it's why they call me Angel Girl, because I get my inspiration, my insight from the angelic realm. And so when I'm doing ghost busting, I call upon that realm to help support us with this ghost busting, with literally ghost rescue. We're helping a child of God, so to speak, go back home. So the angels are always there for me. And then, of course, Laura Lee does something different.
Yeah, the thing that makes Ronnie and I so unique is that we come from two very opposite positions as far as our spiritual standing. Well, they're opposite, but we understand each other and we support each other. She works with the angelic kingdom, and I am a witch and a sorceress, and I work from a totally different standpoint. And I work with, when things get like way out of earth perception, that's where I step in, where we have things that are maybe came in through the rips in time and space, or things that maybe government experiment type of things. That's where my expertise is, in finding the things that are not normal ghosts and not a normal phenomena. That's where my expertise kicks in. And one of the things that I do professionally is work with people on implants, organic, psychic, and metallic implants, and ridding people of those. And it all kind of ties in when we have somebody with a ghost. A lot of times there's more than just a ghost going on. And if somebody has been maybe abducted or something, and has more of a challenge than just, you know, one little ghost, you know, turning on and off their lights, that's where I step in. So the two of us together can pretty much handle any situation that we walk into, because of our huge field of expertise between the two of us.
Okay, let's say I'm listening to the show, and it occurs to me that maybe I might want the Ghost Gal services. Are you too expensive?
Well, what kind of a ghost do you have? Let's see if we can give you a deal.
You know, we don't consider ourselves expensive. We work together always. And, you know, we have a consultation fee, which usually will take about 45 minutes. And I think we charge $150 for the consultation fee, so that we can find out what's going on, and how many ghosts are really there, and is it really a ghost. And so we use our abilities to kind of tune in to the people, to the house, and see what's going on. And then to Ghostbus, we charge $250 an hour for both of us. And it's really hard. Most people don't realize this. My goodness, we have to prepare ourselves. We have to take minerals for our body, because we're going to be up against different electromagnetic fields. We have to bring all our ghost-busting paraphernalia tools and get that all ready. So, you know, if somebody has one little ghost, which is usually isn't, it'll take an hour. If somebody has more than one ghost, like we did this place in Idaho, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that was a bed and breakfast, oh my goodness gracious, it took us 6 hours. We climbed all over that place. But by the time we were done, the place was clear. she could do the things that she needed to do because the ghosts were interrupting constantly, constantly getting in the way of the repairs and all the things that needed to be done there. And once we cleared it, everything went smoothly. We've had people that were trying to sell houses and trying to renovate, and the ghosts would turn paint cans over and knock contractors off the ladders. I mean, terrible things. But we'd go in there and we'd clear it, and then we had one that the house sold before he even got, he put the for sale sign on the home, went home, and there was a phone call, and the house sold that quickly once the interference was gone. So it really pays for itself.
Do you always physically have to go to where the ghosts are, or can you do something like remote viewing?
Yeah,
absolutely,
like that?
And that's how we do most of it. In fact, we prefer to do ghost bustings remotely because it takes a lot less time and energy on our part, where we can just zoom in and zoom out. We can go into the attic, and then we can go down into the basement, and then we can go into the backyard, and we can do it in seconds instead of actually having to climb the stairs and, you know, be distracted along the way. And so we've ghost-busted all over the world from the convenience of our living room or our office or bedroom, or, you know, sometimes we're in our jammies when we do it. So.
Absolutely. And it's similar to remote viewing, because what we do is we put ourselves in a very deep meditative state and literally take our consciousness out of our physical form and send it to where it's needed, and then we could psychically look and see what's going on, and it is a lot quicker, and we get just as good results. The first one we ever did was a poor young man in San Francisco who was desperate. He committed himself to a psych institute because the ghosts were screaming at him. He had 5 ghosts in his house. They were screaming at him. They were giving him a hard time. He didn't know what to do, so he committed himself. Well, then he found us online, and there was no way we could go to San Francisco, and there was no way he could afford to even fly us to San Francisco. So we did this remote ghost busting. It's the first one we did, and we were able to clear his home of all the ghosts, clear the space of any negative things that were going on, negative vortexes that he had going on, and he became a sane person again.
Now, what was interesting, Ronnie, what was interesting about that is that he was Asian, and a lot of these ghosts weren't, and they had a real racial problem.
And it's true.
It is true.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that when you die, your prejudices go with you and you carry them on the other side?
When you die. And that was the first time we really realized that racial prejudices continue on. We were kind of new at this. This was like 8 years ago. And it was a real eye-opener for us. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, because he had an army, a dead army sergeant from World War II, living in his house, and this was a guy that was responsible for rounding up the Japanese people and putting them in internment camps. And he just was really upset that our client was in this house and not going where he's supposed to go, and keep screaming at him and yelling at him. And our client was what's called an indigo, and Laura Lee is kind of a professional when it comes to indigos, and he could hear it, and it was driving him insane. So we had to kind of give this soldier different orders. We literally told him that his orders were null and void, and he no longer had to do that anymore, and then we were able to...
Well, the funny part about that was that I had one of his superior officers come back through the tunnel and tell him that he had done a good job and that his orders had changed now and he needed to follow him. And so he said, okay, great, and he followed him in the tunnel, and that was the end of them. It was very amazing.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to find out where these ghosts go. I mean, when you get rid of them from a haunted house or wherever, and they're gone, where do they go? Laura Lee will tell the audience more about you after the break. Right now, I think we need to tell about your partner, Renee Foster. She has a BA in psychology. Since 1998, She has been the president of the Spokane Chamber of Danny and Brinkley's organization, the Twilight Bride, Compassion in Action. Now, this is a volunteer group that serves the dying. Ronnie also is a national trainer. She's immersed in the world of metaphysics and spirituality and has been so for 25 years. Ronnie gets her insight and inspiration from the angelic realm. Hence, she has a name, a nickname. They call her Angel Girl. Ronnie is also an editor, teacher, empath, intuitive counselor, medium, ordained minister, and, of course, a Ghostbuster. The new book is Got Ghost, The Bizarre But True Tales of the Ghostbuster Gals. I'm Jerry Pippin, and you're in the Parazon.
Hello, I'm Anthony Miles, director of the award-winning motion picture Fastwalkers, They Are Here. Our first volume, Fastwalkers Open Files Volume 1, features well-known and respected Texas journalist and best-selling author, investigator Jim Mars. Also featured in Volume 1 is internationally respected talk show host Jerry Pippin, whose internet-based radio network and UFO Files show reaches millions of listeners and interactors throughout the world. Jerry's insightful commentary will give Volume 1 viewers an inside look at how even mainstream broadcasters and interviewers are now being forced to embrace and accept the UFO disclosure phenomenon worldwide. Also presented in Volume 1 is the respected world-class futurist Alfred Lambremont Weber, the founding father of exopolitics. And be sure to check the fastwalkers.com website on a regular basis for the upcoming release of additional Fastwalkers Open Files volumes.
Welcome back to the Ghost Gals on the Parazon. Ronnie, we gave you a good little plug, a little billboard announcement about all of your experience and everything. So I think it's time that we gave Laura Lee Mystica equal time. And then we'll get back to my question. Laura Lee Mystica, known also as Witchy Woman, she is author of several books, including Cryogenics and Living in an Indigo House. And one of her first books released was about indigo adults. She has been on the cutting edge of healing for over 25 years with clients all over the world. As the steward of the Knights of the Mystic House, Laura Lee teaches Knights training courses. She's also a soul practitioner in Wicca, but has recently morphed into more of a sorceress, developing her own magic. We're talking about developing magic tools and methods to reverse spells, curses, black magic, and voodoo. Laura Lee has become quite prolific and efficient and skilled in actually removing all types of psychic, organic, and metallic implants. She's discovered an interesting fact that many people with severe emotional problems actually have implants. Okay, let's get back to the show. Either one of you or both of you can answer this question. I asked it before the break, and that was when you said you get rid of ghosts. I wanted to know where they go.
I call it home.
Well, and it depends on who they are. Sometimes I have had, I've worked with people that had ET ghosts and they needed to go somewhere else. It depends on the ghost. That will depend on where they go. But most...
The human normal ghosts. They go through the tunnel. They're met by their loved ones. A party and celebration is had by all. And then they get to go through their life review, where they get to experience everything that happened in their physical life and everything that happened while they were stuck. And they get to experience the direct results of their interaction. So if they were mean and bad and awful, they get to feel how that was to the person they were mean and bad and awful.
Or animal. If they came home every day and kicked the dog, they get to feel what the dog felt.
Yes. And a lot of this stuff is from Daniel Brinkley's work. Daniel Brinkley's been dead 3 times. He's been to the other side. He's been through the tunnel. He's also seen the ghost world, and he calls it the blue-gray place. It's the place that they're stuck if they don't go through the tunnel. But he's seen it and experienced it three times, written three books about it, and it's some of the most accurate stuff about near-death experiences and what happens after we so-called die. And so I know that to be true. And it's why I can be a hospice volunteer. I work with the dying veterans at the VA hospital, and they die in my arms. And I can love them into that new place so that they don't become a ghost, because now they're dying instead of in fear and alone. They're dying in my arms with love, and I know for sure that they cross over, and they get to be where they need to be, back. And I call it back to God. I mean, I'm not a religious person. I have no religious affiliations whatsoever, but I'm a deeply spiritual person. And so I get a lot of the stuff from Daniel Brinkley's work, and being a hospice volunteer has helped hone my skills as an empath and an intuitive, just being, you know, right there at the when the veil opens and they get sent home. Awesome.
How do you know you're successful? I mean, in other words, how do you measure your success? I guess people say, hey, I'm not haunted anymore.
And the things, you know, when people have ghosts, their electromagnetic things in their house go out. Their VCRs go out. Their DVDs go out. Their light bulbs go out. Lights flicker on and off. There's terrible smells in certain areas. There's cold spots. There's all sorts of reasons, you know, that the ghosts are there and people know that they're there so they can tell. So one of our best cases was with a little boy that he had asthma from the moment he was born in the house that he was in. 20 minutes after he was born, he had a severe case of asthma. We came on the scene 10 years later after this kid is constantly doing breathing treatments and on steroidal medicines and unbelievable things, and we found that there was a curse, a Native American curse on the house and on the land, that it was a white man's curse. Now, the little daughter didn't have a problem. The mother didn't have a problem. The husband was not white man. He was Mexican. But the little boy was considered white, and he had that horrible situation. And once we cleared the curse, and talked to the Native Americans that were left there and sent them home, this little boy started getting better and better and better. And unfortunately, he got the flu a few weeks later, which was totally unrelated, and the mother took him to the hospital, and they wanted to immediately do breathing treatment because he's had breathing treatments for 10 years. And the mother's going, no, he doesn't need a breathing treatment. He's got something wrong with his stomach. And they're going, oh, no, though, that can't possibly be. We've seen him for 10 years with these problems. They checked him out, and they were absolutely mind-boggled. He did not need a breathing treatment. His breathing was fine. His lungs were fine. And he kept cutting down on his medicine, and now he can play sports.
Yeah, the last we heard, he's in high school now. He was just little when we did this ghost busting. But he's doing just fine. And is it just coincidence that everything stopped when we went in and did the ghost busting? Yes. They don't think so.
No, and that's in our book too. All the lists of things that were wrong in that house, and all the things that changed. And that's why people want to do a TV show about us. It's because we don't just go out and hunt ghosts and go, oh yeah, there's a ghost here, there's a ghost there. Like, yeah, whoopee. No, we find the ghosts and we rescue them, and we make people's lives better because of it. And then the ghost lives are better too, because they get to evolve and move on to where they need to be.
That's one of the things that really annoys us about a lot of these shows out there. I stopped watching them.
I can't watch them
because these people are just crying for help, and they'll go and say, yeah, you got a ghost. You're right. And then they leave, and it's like, well, tell me something I didn't know before. And they don't, like, help them. They just confirm you've got a ghost. Well, okay, that.
Yeah, big deal. Yeah, so we do the ghost rescue, and we know that there's a need for it, and we know that we're helping people, and that makes us feel really, really good. And sometimes, to be honest with you, we've done ghost bustings, and a few days later, there's still some things going on. We had a case like that, and we had to psychically go back in and look, and there was a ghost literally hiding in the closet. He didn't come out of the closet. and he was hiding in the deep corner of this closet, and we missed him. We just missed him. So we went back in. We don't ever charge for going back in and cleaning the place up and making sure everything's gone. And we were able to reunite him with his family and send him across. And then the problems, this door kept opening and closing in this room. That's why he called us back. He's going, I don't know, this door keeps opening and closing. No matter what I do, it still opens and closes by itself. Well, it was the ghost. And once we sent him home, it didn't happen.
That's it. So that's our verification when we've got it all, is that the symptoms quit.
That's why I love it.
It's way cool.
From talking with both of you, I get the idea that when we talk about ghosts, we're not talking about a shortage. No shortage of ghosts.
No shortage of ghosts.
It's so true, Terry.
You got that right.
Boy, do you have that right. I mean, and if you really start looking in Iraq and Vietnam and all the war zones that there were and how many poor soldiers died shocked, you know, all of a sudden, you know, a missile comes in or bullets come in, they don't even see it coming, pop out of their bodies and boom, they're stuck because they die in such a place of shock. And a lot of PTSD, I believe, is shut-ins, you know, their souls that also they're stuck there in Iraq, you know. And they're wandering, and all of a sudden a fellow soldier goes through a trauma, and they're like, oh, I have a chance to get in there, wham, and they get in. And so Ghost Whisperer actually did a wonderful show about shove-ins. They didn't call it shove-ins at the time, but they had five ghosts that had jumped into this guy's body, and it was freaking him out, and he wanted to commit suicide. And she, you know, the lady on the show was able to get them loose. And there's so much truth to that show Ghost Whisperer because James von Prague knows ghosts. He doesn't really deal that much with ghosts, by the way. He deals with people that have already died and crossed over. I think he's one of the most foremost mediums on the planet. But he knows how it works, and so he helps, you know, he's the co-executive producer of that show, and that's why it's such a dang good show. I love it.
You know, if I were a ghost and somebody had done me wrong, so to speak, killed me or whatever, I'd come back and haunt them every day. I'd never let them rest. Does this happen?
If you're a murder victim, most of the time,
I mean, I would never let that person that did me wrong like that take my life or whatever. I'd never give them a moment's rest.
That there is, and I
have you guys run across this kind of thing?
A lot of times, it does happen, but most of the times when they die, they're so confused, they're not really sure, and they get stuck in time loops and stuff and keep reliving their death instead of being able to wander around. Now, what we have found is for the most part, now there's always exceptions to the rules, but ghosts can't really go more than, like, in a 50-mile radius from where they died unless they jump into somebody.
Right.
And then they can. But in general, ghosts pretty much stay where they died, within a 50-mile radius. There are exceptions to that, but that's kind of what we have found.
Well, that might explain why there are lots of ghosts from the Civil War, you know, in cemeteries.
Oh, yeah.
They're
at the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else, Jerry? This is kind of interesting. Most ghosts do not even know they're dead. That's the weird part. They don't even know they're dead. They get this brain fog. They get really confused. They can't quite understand why nobody's talking to them, and they can't really move things physically that much and why they're, you know, going through things. They don't quite get it. So there's like an amnesia or brain fog that goes on, and they usually stay pretty close to where they died. I have had ghosts die in hospitals, and they will travel because they have such a connection to someone that lives in their home. They'll go back to that home. But hospitals and, of course, graveyards, oh my gosh, talk
about
haunted.
Well, hospitals seem to be worse because there's so many people that die in hospitals. They're just swarming with ghosts.
So you are saying that most hospitals have lots of ghosts. They're haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. that's why you get shove-ins in hospitals, because there's so many ghosts hanging around.
Yes. In fact, the first shove-in I did by myself was a woman who had an operation when she was 19. And in the operating room was a woman who killed her children with a butcher knife and tried to kill herself. And she just couldn't do the job. She couldn't finish the job. And so, you know, people heard the screams. 911 was called. She got rushed to the emergency room and died in the operating room. And when my client was there, there was a resignation between the two of them, because my client had been abused sexually, and it was about the same age as this woman that had died, and she just, bam, shoved right into my client. And my client then lived for years with this horrible, obsessive, compulsive concepts and disorders about, she was so afraid that she was going to pull a knife out of the kitchen drawer and kill somebody, and she just became this crazy person, until I could finally remove that ghost that had shoved into her, and then all of a sudden, wham, her life became normal. She just didn't have the desire to do that.
Now, I have to say something for the ghost. The ghost, the husband was very abusive, and so she felt like it would be better for the kids to be dead than to have this continual abuse, and that's why she killed her children. It wasn't just that she went psycho. Well, she did go psycho.
Well, Ronnie and Laura, in this reality, we have a thing called time, and it's got us. We're running out of time. So give the book title once again.
Yes, it's Got Ghosts, The Bizarre But True Tales of the Ghostbuster Gals. And again, you can get that on our website, gotghosts2.com, or Barnes & Noble is carrying it, and a lot of the big chains, Baker & Taylor is carrying it, Amazon.com is carrying it, and of course our website's carrying it too. So it's getting popular.
And you may have a TV show pretty soon. That's in the works.
Yeah, we'll let you know on that. We'll give you a holler as soon as we get the go-ahead to finish the pilot and do the series.
Yeah, we're excited about
that. Anything we can do to help? I mean, other than give you money?
Oh, that's, you know what? I tell you, that's a good question. Here's what we could use from your listening audience. And this is also for our next book, because we've got our next book we're in the process of writing, called Got Ghosts, the Sequel. And we need to know if people that are listening do have paranormal problems going on, haunted houses, and we're trying to find the most haunted for the next book that we're doing. So our email address will be on our website. It's pretty easy. It's ghostbustergals@ghostbustergals.com. And if you people can, if you've got something going on,
something
drop us an
really,
email.
Something really, really paranormal. We've seen paranormal. We want to know the really, really, really weird stuff.
Yeah, if things are, you know, going on and you've got obvious situations. Because what we're going to do for this TV show is bring in the cameras and the electronic voice phenomenon recorders and really capture this stuff. So, yeah, that would really help us. And buy our book, because the more of our books that are sold, the more the executives are going to go, wow, these gals are really good.
Well, and the more the book is out there, it's like we can't ghostbust the whole world, and we don't want to.
No.
It would take way too much time and energy, and we just can't do it. So we're really hoping that the book will help enlighten people to their own power, that they can do something about this and they're not just a sitting duck. And hopefully they'll be able to respond when they read the book. And it's a step-by-step instruction. It's like following a recipe. So it's really easy.
And it works. I mean, I had a client of mine. His cousin was trapped from a car accident, and I was told I cannot rescue her. And for whatever reason, and he did it himself using the steps in the book, and it worked. I could tell that it worked.
And that's why Ronnie wasn't supposed to, because he was.
Okay, that's the way we will leave it. Thanks for being on, Ghost Gal.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
Thank you so much for having us on, Jerry. It was a great pleasure.
Okay, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, take care, Jerry.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Production assistance by Jane Swartley and James Smith. You are now leaving the Parazone.